Welcome back to Seen and Heard. This week on the podcast, we have a recording of the Landflex seminar at the World Ag Expo featuring Aubrey Betancourt and Anya Radovaugh. Let's jump into it.
Hi, folks. Hope you had a great week. It was wonderful to see so many of you at the Ag Expo, so thanks for stopping by and saying hello. It was a quiet week in terms of dairy reports. We will get a whole bunch of them next week, starting on Tuesday with a global dairy trade auction out of Oceania. And then Wednesday, we'll get the milk production report for January. And then on Friday, we will see the cold storage report or an update on where inventory levels sit. So lots of data to digest next week. For this week, just when we thought we might be turning the corner a bit on cheese, we did see blocks get knocked back down. We closed the week at $1.48. That's down a penny and a quarter for the day on Friday, and some bigger losses earlier in the week all mounting up. Barrels sit higher. We are at $1.6075. We are told possibly some export business cleaned up that barrel market a bit. But blocks still sound to be available, and that's certainly the action we've been seeing at the exchange this week, with just at least 9 lots traded on just Friday alone. Butter's holding up. We're still at 275, with a few variations within a narrow range here over the last week or so. Non-fat lost a little ground down to 117, and whey is holding fairly steady at about 52 cents. So at current spot prices, that gives us a class 3 price of about 1607, with class 4 at 1955. So quite the divergence between those class prices still existing here. Again, that's at current spot prices. So stay tuned to next week. We'll have a recap of all the reports and see if any of them happen to be market moving. The markets and our offices are also closed on Monday the 19th.
Did you know that you can turn your dairy manure into cash? Bennett Environmental is offering above-ground dairy digesters at no cost to you. These systems can also remove nitrates from your lagoons to help you comply with water board regulations. Our proven above-ground technology will generate income for your dairy into the foreseeable future. Because we truck the renewable natural gas off-site, your dairy can profit regardless of your location. Bennett Environmental, turning your wastewater liabilities into sustainable assets. Learn more at bennett-environmental.com.
Pacific Gas and Electric is here to remind you that signs keep you safe. Sections of our natural gas transmission pipeline travel underground and beneath agricultural land. For the safety of you, your family, and your employees, pipeline markers are placed to indicate the approximate location of the pipe as a reminder to use extra care. Removing a pipeline marker creates a serious safety hazard. To have additional markers placed or report damaged or missing markers, please call your PG&E account manager or our Agricultural Customer Service Center at 877-311-3276. To learn more, visit www.pge.com/agsafety. Remember, signs keep you safe.
Well, thank you all so much for being here. We heard a rumor it was going to be a packed house, and pretty good for finding the little trailers back here. But thank you guys for being here. You know, we did this show a year ago at a very different time in the life cycle of the presentation we're going to give you today. A large part of what we're going to focus on today is the Landflex program. But bigger than that, it's really about how we as a farming community can actually farm forward and through Sigma. The idea of there's more options available to us as farmers if we're willing to take them or demand them. And that really is the story of Landflex. So we're going to talk about Landflex. We're going to talk about how it was born. We're going to talk about what happened with it and the success of it and the results of it. And then we're going to talk about what's next and how that works. And so not to sound too meta, but it really is a mindset shift. And Landflex becomes, I think, the story that demonstrates what happens when we in agriculture say, you know what, we got left out of the narrative and we want to lean into that solution. And we engage with the very agencies that we feel are putting undue pressure on us. You'd be surprised what you find out when you stick your neck out and what dividends can come back to us as an industry. And so what we found, and I would kind of jumping ahead real quick, we want to get to Q&A as fast as possible. I think that's where we all learn the most. That's where we get the most feedback from you, our members and our community, and more importantly, where you all can engage and we can find more information out about what you all need, because that's really, again, how this was born. We're, you know, kind of jumping ahead in that, it really is about don't give up your agency and the lesson that we've learned in this space. When we looked at and background for our two organizations, we represent the two largest commodities in the state of California, which is the largest agricultural industry in the United States. We are twice the size of Iowa. If anyone's from Iowa, I'm sorry, you guys are awesome, you're cute. But we have the ability as the two largest commodities to flex muscle even when we don't think we have it. And when the two largest commodities hook arms, it means something, and it should mean something, and we should demand that it means something. And so when we two industries got together and said, you know, Sigma's here, it's not going anywhere. And we look at the realities of what Sigma is for all of its flaws, but also all that it is trying to achieve. What we realized is a voice that was missing in the solutions and the toolkits that keep getting put out was anything that focused specifically on the farmer and empowering and enabling the farmer to farm through this. And it really started from the position that we did not believe that you had to abandon acreage up to 2 million acres, as we've seen proposed by a number of think tanks in the state, in order to create groundwater sustainability. As farmers, and I farm just over in Kings County with my folks, we know full well, I can take 100 acres over here and 100 acres over there, and I can fallow on both, but I can save you water over here and I can save you none over there. Not all acreage is the same. And unfortunately, policy has no way of seeing that. And doubly unfortunately, for DWR, doesn't engage with us that often to know that. And so we decided to stick our neck out and say, we're going to talk to you guys about what you need to know about how land really works and how the farmer actually gets you where you need to go faster. So it really does start with kind of sticking your neck out.
All right. On that note, get aggressive. So a couple things about Sigma and this concept around fallowing, which has to stop. And I really want to empower everyone in this room, whether you're from the press or you're from the farming community, to stop giving your agency away. So Sigma can be scary, especially when you add pressure from the state water board. The threat of probation always looms large. But property rights, bank loans, farm equity are your agency, and I've never known a bank to just accept a bunch of fallowed ground. I'm just gonna start retiring ground. And so thinking about how that agency is taken away, we really want to make sure that words like multi-benefit, repurposing, fallowing, and worst of all, retirement, start seeing the end of their times. So we've set out to prove that you didn't need to fallow ground, retire ground, in order to comply with Sigma, and we were successful. So these words only imply one of two things, that there's either bankruptcy in your future or government condemnation, neither of which Sigma has room for right now. So we're going to talk about the program that really shifted that perspective and how DWR was a partner with us on it. Sorry, this is my transitions at midnight. Too many transitions. There we go. So farmer-focused solutions, we realized, as Aubrey said, what was missing in the puzzle was resources that you yourselves had proposed. And so we went forward and we really wanted to put a halt to some of these myth-busters. Talking with DWR, talking with GSAs, talking with NGOs, we want to establish a few ground rules for what we discovered were absolute myths. One, fallowed ground equals water.
We cannot say that enough. All of you good farmers and ranchers who know how to use the land, who know how to work with the land, we have to say this more often. You can fallow 100, pardon my language, shit acres and get no water and no help to our communities or our aquifer. But fallowing in the right place at the right time does achieve sustainability and health for the aquifer, which we want to. So over and over again, we've got to hammer home. Not all acres are the same. Fallowed ground does not necessarily equal water.
So the unintended consequences of retiring ground, again, most of us in this room know that. It's the dust bowl. It's also really low. It really scores low on the economics for us. There's a lot of jobs that are lost. These are things that DWR really perked up about and said, you know, we should do something about that. We can't just walk into that minefield. The other thing that was also a myth was that farmers were just going to give up land. And this is still a myth. It was widely discussed yesterday morning to my great horror. I don't know any of you that are just going to voluntarily give up land that you might have a banknote tied to. Maybe I'm missing something. The other thing that we dispelled at the state level in order to make land flips work is that there was no profit in farming. They couldn't wrap their heads around the fact that you actually do make money and have bills to pay off of that ground. And so I know it's funny, but you can't believe it when they start saying, well, how about $500 an acre to fallow something? It was mind-boggling that we had to go back to basics and show them some of the cost of production, some of the things that go into every single acre of land. So from there, we decided to bear hug Sigma and figure out a way that we could expedite compliance fast in a way that was far less painful. So LandFlex and solutions like it ended up having come from farmers. We engaged with the agencies. Like Aubrey said, we had more power than we thought when we pointed these things out to them.
What I would point out in the bear hugging of Sigma is to remember what we all know about, just a reminder again of how Sigma functions. If we don't find a path forward for a negotiated definition of success, the State Water Resources Control Board is who then takes over the basin. Neither DWR nor us want that. So we come back to, why do you bear hug a regulation? Because if we solve it, they don't have to.
Okay. So what was LandFlex? So as we looked forward, LandFlex was a voluntary program that provided immediate protection of at-risk water and advancements in water sustainability. So thinking about what DWR needed, which is almost always political cover, they needed to make sure that groundwater minimum thresholds were increasing. They needed to make sure that wells that were at risk of going dry stopped. And they needed to see that fast. We needed to see money on the table in order to motivate farmers in the right way to have that happen. So we were awarded $25 million as an initial pilot project to essentially work with these interested parties, these GSAs and agricultural landowners, to make sure that we had proper incentives to, first of all, protect vulnerable wells. But then we all know what happened last March in this region. So we had to shift our thinking quite a bit. So the program, which was initially designed to combat drought and drought conditions, we were able to flip on its head and actually demonstrated remarkable versatility in making it a flood protection program. So here's a breakdown of where round one funding went. It went largely to Greater Cahuilla GSA, Eastern Tule GSA, and Madera GSA. These are an example of how much money was spent in those regions. You see the grand total of $6.56 million. We saved over 4,100 acre feet in overdraft. The ET that we saved for those irrigation technology companies in the room was over 3,600 acre feet with 1,000 acres enrolled. But where we really got the bang for the buck happened in round two. The hydrologic circumstances of the floods that happened here last year really played to LandFlex's favor. So in Lower Tule, Pixley, and Westlands, we were able to enroll over 3,200 acres, save over 13,000 immediate acre feet in overdraft, and overall we saved 12,000 acre feet in ET. And we'll get to some of these total figures in just a second, but the bargain price of $16.7 million. But for DWR's perspective, these big numbers, 33,677 total acres of land were enrolled, 33,000 acres, permanently reducing that demand on the aquifer. We preserved over 17,500 household well drinking supplies. Again, farmer-led solutions. And we protected over 16,000 domestic wells. This was just in the first round of the program. No other program, including dams or canals, has ever saved that many domestic wells that fast. And we did it through precision irrigation technology and working with farmers that put their hands up largely to recharge in exchange for LandFlex. So how does LandFlex work? Well, it's a carrot, not a stick. Nobody had to do it. You could do it if you wanted to do it. It didn't make sense for all farmers. Mm-hmm. We recognize that. It was a middle ground. If you knew that you were in a tentative area with your GSA, not sure what that allocation was going to look like in the future, you were taking a look at LandFlex. But generally, there were three payment structures, which will be changing next time. But for each acre foot of water saved in the ground, so that's the ET piece, a farmer was paid $350 per acre foot. The long-term elimination of their overdraft slash allocation, they were paid $1,000 per acre foot at a maximum of 2 acre feet per acre. So they were heavily incentivized to go that way. And here's the kicker. A lot of these guys that pulled orchards out, pulled trees out, pulled vines out, couldn't have done it without this transition payment. So orchards were given $2,500 an acre. Dairy crops and forages were given $2,000 an acre. And the row crops, they got the little bit of the shaft there at $250 an acre.
I think what's important to realize at this point is different from many of the other programs that are out there, unique to LandFlex. And going back to what we said at the beginning, which is fallowed ground doesn't necessarily mean water, is LandFlex is not a fallowing program. It's a water program. And for the first time ever, it assigned and subscribed a value and provided the assistance to the farmer to instantly become in SGMA compliance in their own GSA, along with the financial certainty that goes with that.
So here's some breakdown of those numbers that we just went through. So it proved to be both an effective drought relief tool and very versatile for a flood control tool. We, again, saved 56,000 total aquifer savings. We permanently retired, and this is what DWR really wants when they're looking at you for those GSP finalizations. We permanently retired 84,000 acre feet to the aquifers. 16,512 domestic wells were immediately protected, and over 17,000 acre feet was recharged just through LandFlex. I'm not even talking about what the irrigation districts and the GSAs did on their own. This was just incentivized through LandFlex. When you add all those together, I think it's going to be an astronomical number. Not that I'm telling Sacramento what that number is.
Well, sure, Link.
Too many transitions. There we go. So the program proved highly adaptable for either type of climactic situation. We early on designed it to be based on hydrology, and it's turning out to be very good for that. And it's easily turned on in emergency scenarios. So in 2024, which is, if you haven't known this, a very, very bad budget year for the state, it's a very bad year for farming, LandFlex is currently being explored as a disaster program during emergency declarations. So there's a lot of moving parts in that. But it was born from farmers like you. And so we ask you today for your feedback, for your notes, and for what you want us to go to Sacramento with next. Because they're asking, they want to see these GSPs pass, and we want to see you guys protected long run. That's our presentation.
Thanks for tuning in to Seen and Heard this week. If you have any questions about LandFlex, please reach out to Anya Radabaugh at anya@wudairies.com. Her contact information will also be listed in the show notes.
Yosemite Farm Credit is the farmer's choice for agriculture financing. As a farmer-owned cooperative, we are dedicated to serving our neighbors in the agriculture community with financial products and services tailored to your operation and backed with the relationship you can trust. Whether you're purchasing real estate, making improvements to the dairy, or wanting to purchase or lease equipment, we're here to help our members prosper. Visit our website at YosemiteFarmCredit.com to find a branch location nearest you.
Are you tired of hearing that the main way to save water is fallowing? Are you tired of seeing articles about how alfalfa and corn waste water? At Common Good Water, we combine the best-in-class subsurface drip system and precision crop management services, including pest control. Our verification program qualifies for public funding, and we want to help you continue farming in California. Contact your groundwater sustainability agency and ask how you can work with Common Good Water. Visit commongoodwater.com.
Thank you to the Western United Dairy's generous business sponsors, the Morning Star Company, Holt of California, Farm Credit Alliance, PG&E, Arada, Swingle, Van Egmond and Goodwin Law Offices, Yosemite Farm Credit, F&R Ag Services, Moss Energy Works, California Dairy Magazine, Bennett Environmental, and Common Good Water. We appreciate our sponsors and thank them for their continued support. While Western United Dairies respects the varied views of our guests, please note that the opinions expressed in the Seen and Heard podcast may not necessarily reflect the positions of the Western United Dairies Board of Directors or our sponsors. If you would like more information on how to sponsor Western United Dairies or this podcast, please send us an email at info@wudairies.com.